Welcome to the Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huffines Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Hello, and I want to welcome you to the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance weekly podcast. We are so glad that you took the time to download us and listen. Every week we try to bring you the leaders in sports medicine in the country, and I think today is no exception. We have one of the rising young stars in sports medicine, Dr. Noah Dean. Welcome to the podcast, Noah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And let me tell everyone a little bit about Noah. Noah is an assistant professor at Texas Lutheran University. He has quite a auspicious background. Not only was he a doctoral student here at Texas A&M, he was a two-time track and field All-American in the hurdles in 2001 and 2002. And he also did a stint as a stuntman on Friday Night Lights, as many of you may remember that TV series. So he brings to us a variety of experiences and background. Sounds like fun.
I think you're building me up too much, Tim, but hey, I'll take it.
Okay. You know, Noah, from looking at some of the things that you have written, and I found out about you by a blog that you wrote for the Hollywood Republican called Unhealthy, Just Give Up.
Right.
You really think people should just give up? Are we so unhealthy that we should all just give up?
Well, that article, the title, of course, is meant to get people, you know, looking at it and get their attention. And when I say unhealthy, just give up, I don't mean give up the fight to become healthy. What I mean is that there are a lot of people out there who they're living a contradiction in the sense that they're claiming excuses. I can't afford healthy foods. I don't have time. They're always looking for an easy fix in diet pills or these wacky exercise machines they can buy off, off the TV.
Yeah.
And so the article is just kind of an in-your-face, give up this contradiction. Give up your efforts to find an easy fix and commit to living a healthy lifestyle. Just do what it takes. Get your lifestyle engaged. Get your mind right. Just give up the negatives is basically what that is.
Yeah. As my wife says, it seems like so many times people want the complaint more than they want the solution.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Yeah.
So what is your advice to people? If they want to get up and get moving and stop whining about it, how do they get up and get moving?
Motivation. In my humble opinion, you've got to have motivation. I was offered a job once to work at a Gold's Gym. They wanted me to be a general manager there, and they said, well, one of the things we try to do here is we try to get people to experience an SEE, which is a significant emotional experience. And they explained to me that the way they try to get people to join their gym is to basically, and this is going to sound bad, they try to just get them depressed enough into an emotional state they really just want to make a change. And I think that although I don't want to go so pessimistically as to think that everyone who doesn't exercise needs to become depressed enough to exercise, I do think that they need to become motivated in some way, find a reason that's going to get them off the couch, get the peanut brittle out of their hand, and get busy.
Do you think that the fitness facilities in general are trying to scare people? Make them depressed or scare them with all the statistics? And
you know what?
That's one way to motivate them?
Fear is a powerful motivation. I don't want to be pessimistic about it, but I have no doubt that in the corporate world, yes. You know, these major gyms, if you went in there with all smiles and, hey, this is what we have to offer, make your choice, no big deal, see you later, then they wouldn't make any money. But if they said, hey, wow, you'd look better, 20 pounds lighter, you know, if they really tried to drive it home to them, these different attributes about what they could be, then yes, they might be more motivated to spend the money. But at that level, the businesses don't really care how fit a person is. They care if they pay their monthly dues. But on my front, you know, I actually want this nation to become healthier. You know, I don't have anything to lose or gain from my students financially. So as long as they're doing their job learning and acting on that education, then I'm doing my job.
And I think that's what we have to remember with people is that these facilities are trying to make money.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't walk through the door, they don't make money.
Right.
Yeah. Now, does that fall into what you call in your article the trap of corporate juggernaut?
Yes and no. I believe this idea of trying to lure people into depression just so these businesses can make money is certainly a part of that. But I branch more globally. For example, I address things like the power balance bracelet. that I can get on a soapbox really easily with these power balance bracelets.
But this is your soapbox. Go on.
Well, okay. Well, let me stand on it.
Okay.
The power balance bracelet is one of the biggest lies today in our field, and it's funny because this is, you know, that's the reciprocal of what I, as a kinesiologist, stand for. I try to educate people and get people to understand the truth, and then this guy comes around with this bracelet that says, hey, all you got to do is wear this thing and you'll be better in so many other ways. And it really frustrates me. And that's why I talk about these corporate juggernauts that are willing to trade ethics for a buck. And yeah, it's really frustrating because I'm in a constant battle. Just today, I had some students talk to me about these Phyton bracelets, P-H-I-T-E-N, these Phyton bracelets and necklaces. And I almost got another soapbox. I had to say, guys, you got to understand, there's no quick fix here. A placebo effect, maybe,
right,
but you're not gonna, you're not gonna drop your 43 seconds because you have a necklace on.
Right.
And it's really just frustrating to me. And that's kind of what I meant when I talk about these corporate juggernauts that everybody's trying to make a buck, and some people are willing to trade ethics to do so.
Yeah, it's quite a scary, I think, commentary on our society when people don't stop and think rationally about these products, about will they really work or not. I know you've done a great job with some of your YouTube videos, and by the way, those of people listening, we'll put links to those videos up in our show notes so you can go look at those. But you've done some great YouTube videos about some of these products, in particular the power bracelet as well, and I appreciate the fact that you're out there trying to stop this.
Well, I appreciate it. And those YouTube videos, I admit, they're kind of cheesy, you know, and I don't look very professional, and my vocabulary might be a bit off, but they're just my feeble attempt to try to educate people and give them something other than a pitch by some company, you know.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about that, how do those work? Because we see the commercials.
Well,
and we're going to steal some of your thunder from the YouTube videos.
No, that's fine. I'm glad. It's I've never tried to explain it without being in front of someone, so this will be a good practice for me. But basically, they have these different tests. They incorporate the total body rotation test, and what they'll say is, well, before the bracelet you can reach so far, but with the bracelet you can reach further. But the problem is they always administer the with the bracelet trial on the second or third trial. They never do it on the first.
Mm.
Well, the fact is that you are more flexible after the first, second, or third time because the elastic tissue in your muscles and tendons, of course, is going to become a little bit more elastic, if
mm-hmm.
that makes sense. Did I say that correctly? The fibers,
yep,
the collagen, et cetera. So these people think that, oh, my gosh, I'm more flexible with this bracelet. But the fact is, no, it's just the physiological characteristics of your soft tissue. You know, the big one is the balance test.
Yes.
And this is always fun for me because when I do this for my class, I always act as if I'm a power balance seller. So I'll administer the test just like they would see anywhere else. And my students go crazy. They're absolutely convinced that the power balance bracelet will give them better balance because we'll have them stand on one leg and hold their arms out horizontally. And when you press down without the bracelet, they'll fall.
Mm.
But if you have the bracelet on their shoulder or their hat or on their wrist, then they're able to maintain their balance. But the reason is because it's completely manipulated by the tester. I can make you fall when I want you to fall by making subtle pulls and pushes on you laterally.
Hmm.
See, it's just funny because these people who work for this company, they'll pull you off your balance, and then when the bracelet's around you, they'll keep you on your balance. And
right,
the person doing the test or having the test administered to them doesn't feel the difference. I don't know. It's a lie, and it's really frustrating. In fact, I'm not going to name the city, but there's a certain city that I went to a few weeks ago, and the superintendent was going around the school administering this test, selling the bracelets to his students. You know,
wow.
it's unbelievable. You know, some people will just do anything. But I'm going to stop talking now because I'm on my soapbox too long, I think. But it's frustrating.
So how can these producers continue to make money when this stuff is so patently false? I mean, are there not any consumer protection agencies to...
Well, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really know how they get around it too much. Now, I do know that there are some companies that have clauses. For example, if you look on the websites from the Kinesio Tape guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's an entire page. In fact, I've got it around here somewhere. There's an entire link that talks about the legalities and, well, you can't sue us if, and we don't make these claims and blah, 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 you know. So I think a lot of times it's going to be in the fine print. But, yeah, I really don't know, to be honest with you, how they get around it.
So basically, they've said in the fine print that if you're a schmuck and you buy this, well, that's just your own problem.
That's it. We got you good, you know.
Can't hold us liable for any claims that we make that probably are untrue.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they've made their money. They don't care. And it's funny, when I talk about these different products, especially the Power Balance bracelet, inevitably someone will always say, well, whoever invented it, he's rich, he's doing well, you know, and I think, well, yeah, I guess that's true, but the fact is, it's just not cool. He's rich or not, you know, I don't know. It's still doesn't justify it, in my opinion.
It seems like, number one, you've done a great job, beginning a great job in trying to expose some of these people. It seems to me that the medical business is probably one of the most regulated industries in the United States, but yet there are so many quacks and frauds out there. I know that there's a website called quackwatch.com that's just a wonderful website for people to go to look at some of these claims. Why is that? Why are we so gullible when it comes to health claims?
You know what? You got me. I don't know. I guess just people are... I don't know. It boils down to money, I guess. Just people want to make money, and just frustrating. I miss the days of, what is his name? I think it was Jonas Salk, I believe was his name. He's the guy who invented the polio vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the days of that guy where, you know, he didn't try to get rich off of it. He saved no telling how many lives, and he just said, hey, I did my job and went on. You know, he didn't want to become a billionaire. So, I don't know. Those were the good old days, I guess.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's because the general public wants to take the easy route?
Oh, no doubt. Oh, no doubt.
And so they're more gullible just because if they see something easy, they go, oh, we'll just do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that goes back to that mindset of an easy fix. Yeah. The ab lounge is a microcosm of that, you know. An easy fix. I can lose weight, get a six-pack abs. I can get a tan and white teeth all just by using the ab lounge. You know, it's amazing, you know.
I think you've added some claims that they may now start using in their commercials.
they just might. You never know. Who knows?
I think this question, you may have answered it already, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Given your varied background and all the things that you've done, what have you enjoyed the most?
It's all been pretty fun. This job, I have to admit, being a professor, this is what I tell my friends and family. Being a professor is the best job on the planet. You know, I get to show off what I know. I get to learn more. I get to stand in front of people, be the center of attention. I get to have control. I get to make my own hours. It's just the perfect job for me, you know. But I really enjoy being a professor. Of course, the Friday Night Light stint was pretty fun. But yeah, being a professor is actually pretty fun, in my opinion. Now, does it pay bukus of money? Well, no, not exactly. But I'm paying bills, so I guess it works out.
There you go. So how did your athletic background prepare you for Friday Night Lights?
Well, it's funny because in Friday Night Lights, I had to be a stunt football player, and I was a track guy in college, so I kind of had to change roles, and actually I kind of annoyed some of the other guys on the field because I didn't know what I was doing half the time. But
did you know how to put on the shoulder pads?
I did know how to put on the shoulder pads.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, that was actually funny because I came in, they had been filming for a few years when I came in, and I was with a friend, Dane Krager and Jonathan Palafox, who had both gone to Angelo State as well, and they were out there doing that. I kept annoying all the other fellow football players because I thought that we were supposed to do real hits during the scenes, you know, just real there and just wreck shop no matter what we were doing. And they said, no, Noah, you got to slow down. You got to act like you're hitting, but you don't really hit, you know, so I really annoyed a lot of people, but it was still pretty fun. It was pretty interesting.
So how long did it take them to give you that advice? Was it one hit or three hits?
It was probably the second or third time because I ticked off a lot of people pretty quick, you know. But it was still pretty fun. I got hit pretty hard. There was one guy, he played football for Purdue, and of course I'm a skinny guy who ran track at Angelo State. And we had this one scene where we were supposed to just basically run at each other full speed, and he was supposed to just de-cleat me. And that was not a fake hit scene. That was a real one. And I had to do 9 takes where this guy came in full speed and just took me out. And that one was a rough day. I admit that was pretty hard.
So we've talked about concussions quite a bit on this podcast. Any chance that you had one that day?
Well, I remember it hurting really bad, so I guess I didn't have a concussion. But I actually wish I would have had one because the pain was ridiculous. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Let's kind of loop back around and come back to some of the things that you're doing now. I've noticed in some of your writing that you talk about holistic wellness.
Right. Right.
Can you tell us what makes your holistic wellness training programs unique?
The holistic wellness is not a new thing. In fact, the ancient Greeks, they stressed the idea of unifying the mind, body, and spirit, which would be holistic wellness. But many people, in my opinion, don't see the connection between the different dimensions of someone. For example, you have a mental well-being, a spiritual well-being, an emotional well-being. And you've got to understand that all that interplays with our physical well-being, you know, this idea of psychoneuroimmunology. And one's emotional state is going to directly affect their physical state.
Mm.
And I talk about that, and I talk about how optimism versus pessimism, that alone will determine how many times and to what degree you get sick throughout your lifespan. So what I'd really try to emphasize is not just the physical. When I train someone or work with someone to put together a training regimen, I say, you've got to stay optimistic. You've got to stay positive. You've got to try to maintain an equilibrium, a stability, a homeostasis, if you will, in the other parts of your life, in your family life, your work life. And because it all comes back to this idea of holistically feeling healthy and well. It's not just physical, you know.
But how can your emotional state, or whether you're a positive thinker versus a negative thinker, really affect your performance?
We know that pessimism affects the immune system. We know that for sure. In fact, I read in a book the other day, and I was actually teaching my students, your pessimistic attitude versus optimism, just your attitude, your mental state, it can cause or elevate the adverse effects of just about every disease out there.
Mm.
You know, even herpes simplex virus, you know, or even scabies, you know, you're not going to get scabies just from being stressed out.
Mm.
But if you're pessimistic and you have the virus or whatever, you might break out faster. And then, of course, cancer and heart disease, it can all be worsened by just a pessimistic attitude. And of course, on the opposite side of that spectrum, it can be helped or improved by simply being optimistic.
So it's one of those things, we know it works, we're not quite sure physiologically how it works.
Right. I guess you could say that.
Well, good ideas anyway. Certainly, if you stay optimistic, which sometimes is difficult in this society, like we were talking about at the beginning.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
You stay healthier and well. We're running short on time here, Noah, and we always give our guest an opportunity to give us a take-home message. What take-home message would you give our audience?
I think the take-home message and this is going to sound cheesy, this is old school, this might be early 80s, but just, you know.
That's old school?
But, yeah.
Come on, let's talk. We're talking about 50s
okay,
here for old school. Okay.
No, but really, just this is what I tell a lot of my kids, is just recognize that you're more capable of doing things than you think you are. I use that a lot in my activity classes, that I have these people come in and they're down on themselves, and I can't do this, I can't do that, and I can see it in their eyes. They literally believe they can't do certain things, but just come out here with a positive attitude. You know, you can. You can get physically fit. You can learn. You can graduate. Whatever your goal is, you've got to understand that although it takes hard work, it is reachable. And just be optimistic. You know, be happy. Get out there and work hard and enjoy it. You know, it's capable of so much more than you think you are.
Great take-home message. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, no, thank you.
We enjoyed the conversation so much.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great day, and let me know how Aggieland is. I miss it.
Well, don't sign off yet.
So
for those of you that are listening, you've been waiting with bated breath for the question of the podcast. So here's Justin with our question.
So what trap does Dr. Dean say corporate juggernauts use to sell products?
So be the first one to send us the answer to that question via email at huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu, and you'll win one of our nifty Huffines Institute podcast T-shirts for free. As I've been saying for the last several weeks, you better get those answers in pretty quick, because we're running low on our first edition T-shirts, and I know you're going to want all of them, all different editions over the years, so you'll need this one to start your collection. So send us the answer to that question. Once again, Noah, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, and I might call in. I want my nifty Huffines podcast T-shirt. I might have to do that.
Cool. Well, if you call in, no one will answer, so you need to email.
Okay. Apparently, I don't listen very well.
That's all right. You were the guest. You don't have to listen.
Okay.
Well. Okay.
Good deal.
For everyone else listening, thank you again so much for being with us, and we hope you join us next week again for another Leader in Sports Medicine. Also, while you're on the website, check out our video podcast from the Huffines discussion. These are great talks from the leaders in sports medicine. They're 15 minutes in length, so it won't take you long. You can watch them over your lunch break. These videos are at the everyday lay level, so you can understand what's happening in sports medicine today. So go on over to the website, subscribe to those so they are downloaded automatically. And until next week, we hope you have a cool and active and healthy week.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Justin Dobson and licensed by the Huffines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sidney and J.L. Huffines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by John Miles Productions at johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.